Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we are tackling a huge topic, preparing for peak season shipping. If you're running a small or medium-sized business, you know this is a massive opportunity for revenue, but it's also shattered by just immense logistical pressure. The real challenge is turning all that seasonal demand into profit without, you know, letting the logistics completely choke your business.
That's it, exactly. And when we say peak season, we're not just talking about the week before Christmas. Our sources are really clear on this. The season starts, believe it or not, in early August.
August, wow.
Yeah, early August.
Yeah.
It kicks off with back to school, and then it just ramps up almost violently through Black Friday and the whole holiday rush until mid-December. The entire supply chain is basically holding its breath for 4 months.
Okay, so our mission here is to cut through all that noise and pull out the really proactive strategies you have to adopt. Like right now, we're going to tackle the big three: the skyrocketing demand, the capacity shortages, and of course, the hidden costs that can just eat away at your margins.
And you really have to adopt them early. I mean, the consequence of being unprepared is it's swift. You get failed delivery promises. Your fulfillment center gets totally overwhelmed. Your inventory system might crash. And the costs, especially those surcharges, they will spiral. For an SMB, preparation isn't just a good idea. It's everything. It's the difference between a record quarter and, frankly, a catastrophic loss of customer trust.
All right, let's start at the very foundation then. All our sources seem to agree. It all starts with data.
Yeah.
So if a small business wants to get ahead of these problems, what are the top two sort of foundational strategies?
Well, number one is just planning ahead and forecasting accurately.
Mm-hmm.
And that means really digging into your historical data from last year. But you also have to look at current market conditions, even social media trends. You have to anticipate that demand.
Right.
Because that's how you secure your resources, your packaging, your warehouse staff, and most critically, your carrier capacity. If you don't book that stuff early, it won't be there for you in November.
Okay, but what if your forecast is wrong? I mean, what if you overestimate?
That's a great question. And it's where you can get hit by that bullwhip effect, especially during peak season panic. If you forecast too high, you might have way too much inventory. Now you're stuck with carrying costs and running clearance sales. But if you forecast too low, you run out of your best sellers. That's just lost revenue that vanishes into thin air. So accuracy is everything.
Let's talk about technology. A small business often has a pretty tight IT budget. How can automation realistically help during this crunch without, you know, a massive investment?
Automation today doesn't have to mean a warehouse full of robots. It's really about smart software integration.
Yeah.
The key is connecting your e-commerce platform like Shopify or whatever you use directly with your shipping software. When your order volume spikes, doing that stuff manually is just too slow. It's full of errors.
Mm-hmm.
Automation can instantly print labels. It can calculate the best rates. It sends the tracking data. It just speeds everything up and cuts down on those little mistakes that carriers will absolutely penalize you for during peak season.
That flexibility you mentioned brings us to the second big strategy: diversifying carrier options. Now, this makes sense on paper, but for a small team, setting up multiple accounts, learning all the different rules, that sounds like a huge administrative headache. Is it really worth it?
Oh, it absolutely is.
Yeah.
100%. Because capacity is the single biggest constraint in the fourth quarter. If you rely on just one major carrier and they hit a volume cap in, say, the Midwest, which happens every year after Black Friday,
you're stuck.
You're completely stuck. You have no other option. But diversification gives you leverage. You can use one carrier for your cheap ground shipping and another for your guaranteed express stuff. You match the carrier's strength to what the customer needs, and you can shift volume instantly if one network gets clogged.
Okay, we have to talk about the ugly part of this, the cost. Mm. Carriers add all these additional fees. What are the specific fees that businesses really need to budget for, and how do they adjust their pricing to survive?
Yeah, these fees are non-negotiable. You have to look for peak residential surcharges, temporary handling fees for big or weirdly shaped boxes, and of course, fuel surcharges, which are always fluctuating. The sources are really clear. You have to budget for these as if they are a standard cost of doing business. If you don't build them into your pricing, either by raising your product price a little or adjusting your shipping rates, your profit margin is just going to get vaporized. You can't absorb all of it.
Let's shift gears now to the actual physical movement of products, starting with parcel shipping. This is what most direct-to-consumer businesses are dealing with, when every single day counts. What are the key operational tips for moving a high volume of parcels?
Okay, we've got four crucial steps here. The first one is an absolute must: monitor carrier cutoff dates. every single carrier tightens their delivery guarantee windows. Missing a deadline by just an hour can mean a failed delivery promise.
Then there's packaging. The advice is to optimize packaging. Use the smallest, most durable box you can. Now, that sounds like simple cost cutting, but there's a really technical reason for it, right? It's called dimensional weight, or DIM. Can you break that down for us?
Yes. DIM weight is so critical. Basically, carriers charge you for whichever is higher, the actual physical weight of your package or its volumetric weight. And that volumetric weight is calculated from the box's dimensions, length times width times height.
Yeah.
They do this because wasted space on a truck or a plane is wasted capacity for them. And during peak season, they are ruthless about auditing dimensions. If you ship something light in a big box like a winter coat, you're paying for the space, not the weight. And those charges can be a huge, nasty surprise if you haven't budgeted for them.
So that smallest durable box advice is really about saving you from surprise fees.
Got it. What about just getting the packages to the carrier?
Right, that brings us to points 3 and 4. Third, leverage drop-off centers. During peak season, your regular carrier pickups can get delayed or just become unreliable.
For your really time-sensitive stuff, driving them to a local drop-off spot yourself ensures they get into the system on time. And fourth, if you can swing it, consider a multi-location strategy. Maybe use a 3PL, a third-party fulfillment center. Shipping from multiple locations cuts down delivery times and lets you sort of bypass regional bottlenecks when a major hub gets backed up.
Okay, let's pivot to LTL less than truckload. So now we're talking about bigger palletized shipments. This is a whole different ballgame, and it faces brutal capacity issues. What's the biggest risk here?
With LTL, capacity just vanishes in Q4. You have to book early and maintain really strong relationships with your providers. The sources warn that booking late doesn't just mean a delay. It can mean they flat out refuse your shipment.
Wow.
Or they hit you with surge pricing that's like 300 or 400% higher than normal. You just can't wait until November to book your LTL space.
And the pricing for LTL is based on something called freight class. This is a super technical detail I think a lot of businesses might get wrong. Can you explain freight class and the risk of getting it wrong during peak season?
I can try. So LTL pricing is almost entirely based on freight class. It's a number assigned to your product based on 4 things: how dense it is, its liability, how easy it is to handle, and how well it stacks. Basically, how difficult or risky is your pallet to move?
I see.
The biggest mistake businesses make is misclassifying their own product. Maybe they say it's a class 50 when it should be a class 100. Well, the carriers audit these shipments constantly, and if they find a misclassification, you get hit with a massive non-negotiable fee and a big delay while they fix the paperwork.
So the foundation is just getting that classification right to avoid the fees.
Exactly. And speaking of paperwork, we have to talk about the bill of lading, the BOL.
Errors there are absolutely deadly, right? Especially when everyone's at full capacity. What are the common mistakes on a BOL?
The common ones are the wrong freight class, incorrect weights, or the wrong delivery address. Just think about it. If a carrier's terminal is overflowing with pallets, the first one they're going to set aside is the one with the incorrect BOL. Being meticulous with your documents, it's really the cheapest insurance you can buy during peak season.
Okay, so now let's add another layer of complexity. Cross-border shipping, international carriers, customs agencies, they're all under the same pressure. If you're an SMB looking to ship internationally during the holidays, what is the number one golden rule?
Prioritize complete and accurate documentation above everything else. Customs offices are the ultimate bottleneck. If your commercial invoice or your certificate of origin is incomplete or has a mistake, your shipment just stops dead in its tracks. A tiny omission can completely halt your shipment for weeks.
And what's the real-world impact of a customs delay during peak season? It's more than just a late package, isn't it?
Oh, much more. A delay means your stuff is sitting in a customs warehouse, and you might start racking up demurrage or storage fees. We're talking hundreds of dollars a day, potentially. Imagine paying $500 in storage for a pallet of goods just because you missed one signature on a form.
So beyond the paperwork, how should you pick a carrier and, you know, prepare for the problems that are bound to happen?
You've got to pick carriers with proven cross-border experience. They already have the relationships with customs brokers. And this is critical. The sources all recommend running test shipments. Do it early, like in August or September.
I have to push back on that a little bit. If I run a test shipment in August and it gets stuck in customs, how do I realistically fix that complex international problem while I'm also trying to ramp up my whole operation for Q4?
It is extremely difficult, and that's precisely why you have to do the test. You have to see that August test as a way to find your riskiest products or destinations. If you find a systemic problem with, say, a customs requirement for Germany, you have to make a tough call. You might have to stop shipping that product to Germany until you get the documentation perfect. It's way better to cut off one small revenue stream in September than to have hundreds of angry customers with stuck orders in December.
And how do we manage customer expectations around all this?
You have to be crystal clear about shipping timelines. Cross-border takes longer during peak season, period. Don't promise 2 weeks if it's really going to take four. And on the technical side, declare your weights and dimensions accurately. Always round up on the box measurements. International carriers are famous for auditing, and those post-delivery charges will destroy your profitability.
All of this, the packaging, the LTL, the customs paperwork, it all comes back to one thing, the customer experience. So let's connect the dots here. What are the e-commerce tips that tie all this logistics work directly to building customer trust?
Well, it all starts with your own inventory preparation. Use your fails data from last year to stock up, but also create buffers, especially for popular sizes or colors. The moment a customer sees that sold-out button in November, they often just abandon their entire cart. Mm-hmm. You don't just lose that one sale. You might lose the whole order.
The key during these high-stress times really seems to be transparency, right? How should businesses handle communication?
Prioritize communication and expectations, absolutely. If you know there's a 48-hour delay in the Midwest, tell your customers immediately. Send proactive tracking updates that actually mean something. If a customer knows what to expect up front, they're so much more likely to forgive a delay than if they're just left in the dark.
Let's talk about giving the customer some control here. What kind of options should you offer at checkout?
Offering multiple shipping options at checkout is huge. You should give them choices that balance speed and cost. Something like, you know, economy ground, 5-7 days versus premium express, 2 days. It puts the decision in their hands, it reduces the pressure on your own team, and it just makes for a better shopping experience.
And finally, the holidays end, the rush is over, and then comes the wave of returns. How do we prepare for that reverse headache?
You need a solid returns policy that's clear and easy to find on your website. Returns are basically a reverse logistics operation, and they can strain the system just as much as outbound shipping. A great tip from the sources is to offer prepaid return labels for some situations. It just smooths out the whole process for everyone, clears out your inventory pipeline faster, and gets you ready for the new year.
This has been a really comprehensive deep dive. So to sum it all up, peak season, which runs August to mid-December, it demands proactive strategy. It seems like your survival really hinges on early forecasting, diversifying your carriers to handle those capacity crunches, and just almost fanatical attention to detail. That means understanding dim weight, knowing your LTL freight class, and checking your cross-border paperwork twice.
Exactly. The pressure on the supply chain gets more intense every single year, and it will absolutely derail your business if you haven't done this prep work. Securing that capacity, running those test shipments, those are the investments that actually protect your profit and make sure you come out of December with your reputation not just intact, but enhanced.
And that really brings us to our final thought for you to chew on. If you manage your logistics perfectly during the most stressful time of the year, your deliveries are on time, your communication is flawless, what is that single perfectly executed holiday delivery actually worth? How much does it reduce your support costs? And more importantly, how does it secure that customer's loyalty for the next 3 quarters? The discipline you build for the holidays really becomes a year-long financial asset.
That reliability you build in December just compounds all through the next year. It's a huge advantage.
Thanks for diving deep with us. We'll see you next time.